1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. We're going to be looking at a formula for a happy new year. Some of you think I know what the formula is. A stress-free, problem-free 2007 year with all of my needs met. No difficulties, no obstacles, no sickness, no financial or physical calamity.
Dream on.
Dream on. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Adversity, perhaps even adversaries, will lurk, I assure you, at every corner in 2007. And yet, for each and every one of us, the year 2007 can be the best year of our life if we're willing to give the Lord Jesus Christ the reins of our lives. The Roman god, and I use that sense in a small g, Janus, J-A-N-U-S, was a god where we get in our monthly calendar the term January. And it was a god with two faces, one facing forward, one facing back. The idea was, according to Janus, if we were to begin the year properly, there needed to be a backward look, but there also needed to be a forward look. Some of you that are in investments are familiar with the Janus Investment Group, and their logo on all of their cards is the dual face, facing backward, facing forward, investment-wise, the concept being looking backwards to prior performance and then judging discreetly for future decisions in investment. Such is the case with our lives. We should look at our lives and ask ourselves, where have the struggles been? Where have the victories been? Where have the defeats been? What are the three areas that we need to challenge ourselves for a successful new year? Yes, there are going to be many, many adversaries. First of all, we need to realize that happiness, according to Webster's dictionary, is a concept of quality of being content. But the word happiness comes from the Old English happenstance. And there are too many people in the world today that think that happiness equals having the right happenstance, having the right circumstances. And if your ship happens to come in, then you can be happy. That's not a biblical concept. The biblical concept is that we as believers can be joyous, be happy, because Christ is the source of every blessing in our lives. We think of His birth, the promised Messiah, the Savior came. We think of His life where He healed and helped all. We think of His death when He paid for all men's sins, for His resurrection when He overcame death. And we think of His ascension when He promised to return for His people. And He will return according to His word. And therefore, we as believers can rise above happenstance and look to the reality of God's words. There are going to be some aspects where we can find happiness. I'd like to have you turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. You know, happiness for 2007 is found, first of all, number one, through fellowship. There are two aspects two dimensions of fellowship. One is dependent upon another. Look at 1 John 1:7. God's Word says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here, we can find happiness for 2007 through fellowship. And notice, verse 7 is speaking about a dual fellowship. First of all, there is a vertical fellowship that we need to have. Fellowship, the word koinonia, means to have in common, to share in common. We need to be in right relationship, first of all, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to examine our hearts and lives to see if we're in fellowship. Notice the Word of God says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's fellowship vertically with the Lord, walking in the light of His Word, not walking in darkness in the lusts of the flesh, but walking in obedience to the Spirit of God for 2007. Then it's going to affect our horizontal fellowship with other brethren. And that's where it says we have fellowship one with another. Why the breakdown in relationship in homes today? Because there's a breakdown vertically with members of families between them and the Lord. No one ever breaks relationship with wife or husband without first having done so with the Lord. May it be our goal to have happiness and fulfillment, first of all, in fellowship with God, and then fellowship with one another. And the Word of God says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing. It's in the present tense there. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. For there is nothing to impede the Lord from hearing our prayers. Now, we're here in prayer meeting. When we gather together in prayer, what we are actually seeking and saying is that there's nothing between us and the Savior that would impede our communication with Him. We need fellowship, first of all, vertically with the Lord. Nothing between our soul and the Savior. Then, horizontally, our relationship with one another will be right with the Lord. Fellowship, that's a goal. There's happiness for 2007 in our fellowship. First of all, with God and with one another. Secondly, there's another area where we can find happiness in. This is going to surprise you. Happiness through fighting. Now, some of you are going to say, fighting? Oh, yeah, Pastor John, I just had a fight with my wife on the way to church today. I'm not talking about fighting one another, and I'm not talking about fighting the Lord in 2007. We need to realize that as Christians, we are facing a battle. We have been given, in accordance to Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God that we are to continually put on a daily basis. If we don't fight, we're going to be defeated. We must go forward and fight against the powers of the devil. And there are four areas that 2007 says we need to keep fighting in. We need to maintain fellowship, but there needs to be a maintenance of happiness through fighting as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us and warns us that in the last days some shall depart from the faith. That's the word apostatize. Look around you, dear people. Families, individuals, spiritual leaders that once stood for the faith, many of them are departing, apostatizing from the faith. Denominations, mission agencies, Christian schools, Christian colleges, seminaries that once stood for the inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God, are now departing from the faith. And you know what? Families are going down the drain. Homes are going down the drain. Men are falling into sin and apostasy, and the Bible tells us and warns us expressly, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That old snake that seduced Adam and Eve is still at work today. Yes, we need to fight sin. But you know, there's something else that you're going to have to fight, and I'm going to have to fight this year. Not only sin, but a slackfulness. A slackful spirit. In Matthew chapter 24, the Word of God warns us that in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, because society is going to be so saturated with sin, Matthew 24:12, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, let's do like Janus and look backward in 206. Has there been an erosion of our walk with God? Has there been a desensitization towards sin? Has there been the entrance of compromise into our lives, into our families? Things that we once stood firmly against, we see erosion and dry rotting coming into our hearts and lives. We're going through the stained glass menagerie. We're going through the externalities of the faith, and yet our heart perhaps has grown cold. Coldness towards the Word of God, a prayerlessness that may have set in. We need to fight that slackful spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we need to fight not only sin and slackness, we need to fight sensuality. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." We need to fight sensuality. And in 2007, we also need to fight slothfulness. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 warns us about laziness. In Romans 12:11, it says that we are not to be slothful in business. Has there been a spirit of slothfulness? Perhaps you've lost your job because of a slothful spirit. Perhaps you haven't really been doing everything to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A slothful spirit can develop in the life of a Christian. Perhaps you might be a student in school and you're hearing my words today, and you've been satisfied to just slide by with the minimum amount of effort. Do you know, dear student, that with that attitude you will develop a habit that will continue through your entire life? How many here have been wearied of having to return an automobile in order to get it fixed right the first time? Or perhaps you've found that it seems that there's dishonesty at work, in the workplace, when you are expecting to have a job done. Well, the reason why that happens is that there's been a habit of that type of practice. We as parents have a great responsibility, don't we, in teaching our children, when they do a job, to do it right the first time. Oh, I'm not telling you to let your 9-year-old with a lawnmower, never having been taught, to run it through the front yard and have them do it just as well as you would as an adult. You know, parents need to be willing to teach their children how to do things right. Train your children. Show them how to do the job right. Then, with the advancement of years, will come the reward of even seeing them do it better than you can. And that's a joy. But teach them how to do it right, and do it right the first time. It breaks my heart when I see, especially young people, go from job to job to job to job to job. And the reason why is because they're so lazy that they arrive late at work, unprepared, slouching. I've been involved in education all of my life, and I can spot it through body language. You see students in the classroom sprawled like they could care less about the subject matter in front of the teacher. By the way, homeschoolers, listen up. The habits you develop, even in your home class, when you go to college, you're going to have to stay sharp, sit up, and listen, because you're not going to put the video teacher on rewind when she's a live teacher. You need to listen the first time. Be sharp. And keep attention to the subject matter. We need to be sharp. Fight sin. Let's fight slackfulness. Let's fight sensuality, slothfulness. Happiness is going to be found through fellowship with the Lord. It's going to be found through fighting those four enemies that we've dealt with. But you know, there's also happiness in 2007, not only through fellowship and fighting, but through following. The Lord wants us to follow several things in 2007. First of all, follow the call of God in your life. Follow God's call in your life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, the Word of God says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know, the Lord has given unto us a great commission. We're to follow God's call, and He wants to make us what we need to be. I don't believe that only those that go into the ministry are called. I believe that God has a place of service for every one of us. And we need to be, as in Nehemiah's day, all in our place, building the wall, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Following God's call. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, we need to follow God's commands. In verse 37 of Matthew chapter 22, the Word of God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind." Then have your eyes go down to verse 39. The second is like unto it: "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. Following God's command. Then in John chapter 15 and verse 16, we need to follow, thirdly, God's commission. His call, His command, His commission. John 15 and verse 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." This is a verse that emphasizes God's sovereignty in election. There are verses that speak of moral responsibility and look at salvation through man's side. But there are also scriptures that teach salvation through the side of God and His sovereignty. And both are true. And shame on us if we minimize either side. Here it says, "You haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you." Well, what does that mean? He's speaking of in time, in duration, in period of time. We love Him because He first loved us. "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it unto you." What an encouragement for us to go to prayer. Following God's commission. This involves witnessing and winning souls. Fourthly, we're not only to follow His call and His command and His commission, but we're to follow God's character. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. The Word of God says, because it is written, here's a goal for 2007, 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy. The word holy means separated. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's make these goals our goals for 2007. Let's seek biblical happiness through fellowship with our Lord, resulting in fellowship with one another. Let's seek happiness in 2007 through fighting. Fighting the right things, though. Sin and slackfulness. Sensuality and slothfulness. Let's find happiness for 2007 through following the right things, not the wrong things. Let's not follow the idols of the world and Hollywood and the media. But let's follow God's call, His commands, His commission, His holy character. The Lord will bless us, and we'll be able to look forward to a life of ministry and fruitfulness and spiritual growth in our homes, in our lives, and in our church. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that if there's one listening to my voice today that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that 2007 will be that day when they come to Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, placing their faith and trust in the One who bore their sins at Calvary. And Father, for those that do know Christ, that have, Lord, fallen prey to straying from fellowship with God, may this very moment we repent of our departure from You and make steps that return to the God of our salvation. Bless us, Lord. May it be a time of growth in our homes and in our lives and in our church. We'll give You the praise as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.